Hello, guys, gals, and my non-binary pals. Welcome to The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve and your midweek political check-in. Broadcasting live on the Really American Media platform, we're slogging through another political swamp thick with nonsense and bad intentions. Let's cut through the poo-poo and throw a little light on the chaos before it buries us all. We don't care if you chew gum during the podcast, but no blowing bubbles. All righty then, without further ado, here's Nick and Bubbles. Steve. Holy moly. Take it away, gentlemen.
I wish I could blow bubbles today. I'm just in that kind of mood. Welcome to the show. We are the Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. We're live. Really American Media Platform. What up, y'all?
Are you flirting with me? Is that how we're starting the show?
A little bit.
Interesting.
You'll take it.
Oh, hey. Hello from Youngstown, Ohio. I've been to Youngstown, Ohio. I played gigs there back when I was off.
Oh, really? You little rock and roll star, you.
That's right. Hey, if you want to message us, you can do so. You can go to thevocalminority.net. It's a website. It's still a thing, and we're there. So you can reach out and touch us. Not in an Epstein way, just in a hello sort of way.
Royzen2915 just said, hi, I wish. Maybe after the show.
Right. Trump Reaper checking in as always. Greetings. I was afraid I'd missed it. Nick's having an off day, so he was running 5 minutes late. So we're here now. Do you see the anxiety you're causing the audience?
Me? Oh, yes. Where people are upset. Well, thank you for waiting for me.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Here we got Australia checking in. Nice.
Warm greetings from Australia, the land from down under. Love your work, Steve. Hello, Nick. Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's nice. Canada checking in. We got Minnesota. Well, yeah, you're all tuning in for the live show. Alaska. What up, Alaska? So feel free to jump in the old comment section. Join along with the fun, don't you know, because you are the vocal minority. We're just here to host.
Yeah, look at that. Here we sit. February 10, 7 minutes after the 3 o'clock hour here on the West Coast. We like doing the show live because, well, you can all be a part of it. And, yeah, I don't know. We like hearing from you. So,
yeah.
Thanks for being here. We're going to get this bad boy started. Lots to go through.
We can't afford an editor. That's the main reason we just do this live. It's just so much easier. So.
That's not true. We can both edit, dude. What are you talking about?
Got a lot of people checking in here in New Zealand. We got Australia. We got the Netherlands, all over America. All right. Let's do something for these people.
All right. Let's get this going.
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news.
Where's Nick?
Oh, I'm right here, sir.
Get over here, Nick.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think the big headline of the day.
Yeah.
There's several, quite frankly. But, we've been calling Trump a pedo protector on this show for quite some time. We have not seen definitive evidence that he's done anything with children. But he certainly fucking know what his buddy Epstein was up to. And it would certainly seem that we now have official confirmation from within the Epstein files itself.
Yes, and we do know that he does weird shit with children. I mean, I've seen Ivanka on his lap, and he's rubbing her all up and down with his own kids, dude, for crying out loud.
We know he says inappropriate things with his own children, and depending upon what part of the country you're from, there might be some flexibility on that. But the Epstein thing. Oh, Sweden checking in. Swedish massage time. That's nice.
Yeah.
Anyways, so if you don't know what I'm referring to, President Donald Trump has repeatedly maintained that he had no knowledge of Jeffrey Epstein's sex crimes.
No.
And he claimed early in the 2000s that he had cut ties with him. Creep. Never would say why he was a creep, though, but just said that he was a creep. So.
Yeah.
But in July 2006, as Epstein's criminal sex charges became public, Trump called then Palm Beach Police Chief Michael Ritter to tell him that Epstein's activities with teenage girls were well known in both New York and Palm Beach. Now, it's interesting that Trump would have allegedly called once the sex charges became public. Sort of seems like he was covering his ass, right?
Look, come on. That's all he does is cover his ass, you know?
Right.
He doesn't do it in the typical way, usually. I mean, he'll come out and say weird shit. But yes, he's covering his ass. Right. I mean, that's timing doesn't just work like that, dude.
It would be hilarious if you got arrested for something, and then as soon as you got arrested, I called the cops. Like, hey, by the way, I've known about Nick for a long time. I know everything he's up to. Like, am I clear? No, I just told you that he's...
Guy's a degenerate over there, dude. Right. Come on.
So, allegedly, according to FBI documents in the fucking Epstein files, quote, thank goodness you're stopping him, Trump said. Everyone has known he's been doing this. Trump told this, you know, police chief. And this is now according to a 2019 FBI interview with the police chief. Okay.
Right.
So why would the police chief just be making this up in 2019?
No, he's not, dude. He's not all this shit that you think, oh, there's another one. There's another one. There's another thing that ties him to all of this. It's out there. That's why we've been screaming to release these files and investigate Trump on this shit. We know that... I guess we can't say we know that he diddled underage girls, but
we don't.
Come on. I mean, I know. How about that? I know.
Have you seen that one post going around where it's like, if somebody told you that they, you know, allegedly hung out with a bunch of goat fuckers and constantly claimed that they don't fuck goats, and it turns out in a bunch of documentation that they were like, it would sort of maybe seem like maybe they were a goat fucker. So
it's a great ad. Yeah.
Right. So this interview was conducted October 2019, sheds new light on Trump's involvement in the early stages of the Epstein investigation back in Palm Beach, Florida, raises questions about how much Trump knew about Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. Trump apparently told the police chief, quote, he was around Epstein once when teenagers were present, and Trump said that he got the hell out of there.
Yeah, just like Howard Lutnick, right?
Right. Well, that's the other news that came out today. But just to wrap this up, so Caroline Leavitt was asked about this today at a press conference, and it seemed much like Trump that maybe she shit her pants because she just sort of ran away pretty quickly. But so someone first asked her, you know, so Trump apparently called this police chief in Florida, said he knew what Epstein was up to. Her first response was that may or may not have happened in 2006.
Oh, my God.
This call, she said, if it did happen, would corroborate what Trump has been saying since the beginning, which is not true at all.
No.
He said he had no knowledge of his crimes and that, you know, kicked him out of Mar-a-Lago, stopped talking to him. And then she went on to say, this is not something I've discussed with the president recently because, frankly, it's not a priority.
Yes.
He's focused on many of the issues that American people are dealing with, providing solutions. And then she said, we're moving on.
they keep saying stupid shit like that. And it started with Trump. Like, you know, I would think that America would be ready to move on to something important like health care. Like, no, we already know you're not doing anything about health care either, dummy.
doing anything about anything.
Yeah. But this right here, you campaigned on this. And we're all waiting, dude. We're waiting and we're not waiting patiently anymore. People are, there was a little lull in this after all of the shootings, the ICE shootings, and now we're back, dude. We're back. We want to know. We're seeing other things come out. We're going through the files.
Yeah, and it is a priority to the victims, to America, to people that want to know. You know, we saw multiple people yesterday, elected officials that apparently got to read some unredacted versions of a lot of these files, and they all came out and said, like, there are things that should not be redacted, including co-conspirators whose names, they're not victims. They're, you know, like, why were their names taken out? Which goes back to what Trump originally said to Marjorie Taylor Greene. This will hurt friends of mine if we let it all out. So again, pedo protector, protected Epstein, protecting others right now.
Yeah.
He drew the birthday card knowing goddamn well that he was drawing a teenage girl, not an adult woman. Like, it's confirmation. He's a fucking pedo protector. And now they've got him nailed in the Epstein files, admitting to this years ago, a police chief corroborating it. He fucking knew what he was doing.
Yes. And we knew all that, obviously. But it's nice to see it down in print because, I guess I'll like to see the mental gymnastics that even that freaking maggot party that was like, release the Epstein files. And then when they started being released, they're doing all, you know, Olympic style gymnastics. I mean, it's just freaking crazy, dude. When you see something like this where a cop, we back the blue, right, Steve? We back the fucking blue. And when he says, corroborates this, you're going to say, oh, you know, oh, he was shitbag, or, you know, he didn't know what he was talking about. I'm just ready for it.
Right. Here's a listener, viewer, that has way too much credit or faith for us, I think. Steve and Nick, can you investigate why Epstein was killed? It's not clear. No social media coverage. Epstein did not commit suicide. Yeah. I don't know that we have the resources really to investigate that. However, you know, did you see this new still frame that was also in the Epstein files? The flash orange?
It shows like a prison jumpsuit is what they think it is. And I mean, I would tend to agree with it. But yeah.
It was 10 o'clock the night before he was found dead. A flash of orange, which could only either be an inmate in orange or a prison guard carrying an orange thing in there to strangle him with. Somebody went into that cell, and we have never been, it's never been confirmed or corroborated, no public admission or statements. But it was in the Epstein files that they looked into it and then just sort of stopped. We also saw a document that announced his death a day before he died.
Yes.
That's weird.
Right. Yeah, like somebody knew it was going to happen. Yeah. And, you know, big-eyed Cash Patel was all gung-ho on this whole thing, too, of like, yeah, we're going to find it. We're going to get all these videos. We've got all this. I was walking the dog last week listening to some podcast, and they were playing old clips of Pam Bondi, seems like old clips, where she was like, yeah, the files are sitting on my desk right now. Like, all that shit happened, and it wasn't that long ago. Like, we got the files, dude. You guys know what's in those files, and you're doing everything you possibly can to redact Trump, get him, and I don't know, maybe his buddies. Why are the Clintons so gung-ho to go out and testify, dude?
Yeah. I saw a great meme the other day of Trump holding up a trophy. It said number one most mentions in the Epstein files, and he was all excited to.
He loves it. It's so true.
I mean, besides Epstein and Maxwell, nobody is mentioned, and they're more than him. I just wonder. And again, I wish I could connect the ultimate dots that he had done something inappropriate with minors. But I'm also, as I've said many times, till I'm blue in the face here, like knowing that your buddy is doing something like that and not turning him in and covering up for him years later, that in my mind makes you weirdly more guilty. It's one thing for the pervert to do something, but if you're apparently of sound mind and you're covering up for him, I think that makes you worse.
100%, dude. I mean, look, you and I have been friends longer than half our life, right? I mean, good, close friends. If one of us did something like this that was that freaking terrible, obviously the other one would be like, ooh, wow, like, we got to report that, right? There's some other reason besides just these are friends of mine. No, it's because you're in there, too. And if your friends go down, they're going to talk about all the shit you guys did together.
Yeah. And it's also very suspicious that so many people mentioned in the files are in Trump's orbit. I mean, whether it's, you know, your Steve Bannons or, like you referenced earlier, Howard Lutnick.
Yeah.
Who is just a freaking dirtbag. And he got grilled today. Senator Chris Von Hollen, Democrat from Maryland, grilled Trump Commerce Secretary Howard Licknuts during a hearing today over new revelations regarding the extent of his ties to convicted criminal Jeffrey Epstein. Von Hollen went after him right from the jump by saying, quote, you totally misrepresented the extent of your relationship with Epstein. He added, the information recently revealed showed that you had interactions with Epstein over 13 years, including long after he was convicted of soliciting the prostitution of a minor. That does call into question your credibility and fitness for the job.
100%. And I don't know if everyone watching the podcast or listening to the podcast remembers, but it wasn't long ago that the interview has resurfaced of Howard Lutnick being asked, how did you know Jeffrey Epstein? Well, they live 7 steps away from each other. And he said that when they moved in, he went over to Epstein's house with his wife and they saw a massage table in one of his rooms. And Jeffrey Epstein got all creepy, supposedly, and said, like, the right kind of massages take place there. He said he never talked to him after that specific moment. And now we know that's not true at all, dude. Why would you say that?
Because he's a liar and liars lie. Yeah. The latest Epstein files release also showed that Lutnick visited Epstein's infamous private island, and then he maintained both a business and personal relationship with the convicted sex trafficker up until at least 2018.
Catwoman, this is live right now. Okay, stop asking.
Yes, it's 3:20 West Coast. Hi. So there you go. I mean, just multiple people in Trump's orbit lying. Kara Lyon Levitt, you know, her little head melted today trying to figure out how to take her foot out of her mouth. And, you know, I mean, there are so many people around this world who have more time and resources than Nick and I, and they are going through all of this, and it's just going to keep coming out. And a big reason it's going to keep coming out is journalism is supply and demand. If nobody wants to read these articles, nobody's wasting their time doing all the research, but everyone wants to know, and it's just going to keep coming out, which is why, as we always say, like, get vocal, stay angry, keep talking about this stuff. There are two issues right now that are going to sink Trump in November, and it's ICE and Epstein. We just got to keep hammering on it. And obviously, I feel bad for the victims in both of those things I just mentioned.
Yeah.
But to deny that there are political consequences or political advantages to putting a spotlight on what these dirtballs are doing would be disingenuous. So, yes, keep it going.
You know, I thought about something, Steve. I saw this video of Kid Rock's girlfriend. She was walking down, I believe, the steps of the Capitol, and a journalist stopped and asked her a question. This is Lauren Boebert right here. We'll watch this video.
There are rumors.
Congresswoman, are you among the members who got to see the unredacted files today?
Yes, I saw some of them, not all of them, obviously. I'll be going back tomorrow to see more.
Any reaction on what you've seen so far?
I think that there's folks who are definitely implicated and co-conspirators. And, you know, I don't think everyone there that was talking about underage girls being trafficked are victims.
Got it. And do you support any clemency for Ghislaine Maxwell? She was saying that she
I do not. Okay. I think Ghislaine Maxwell should get more time, and she should definitely be in a harsher prison than what she's in. It's absolutely disgusting.
Yeah. Absolutely disgusting.
Absolutely disgusting. But let me say this. What this video first made me think about is, damn you, Marjorie Taylor Greene. You took the exit when you had all the access to these files and were willing to speak up and talk about it. Like, why are you gone when you could have been looking at all these classified documents? And I don't know, whistleblower? Fair.
I think MTG was afraid of getting run over by some, you know, mega truck with a Trump flag on back.
True.
But, you know, I mean, Boebert's reaction right there, that it just reminds me of women who I've seen get emotional and angry. And, you know, like, she, that was not a shtick. She was not faking it. Mm-hmm. She legitimately had just seen something that enraged her. Yeah. And even though she's still on Team Red, even though she's still in office, like, she still could not contain. That was her containing herself.
Yes. Yeah, so, which is crazy. And you're exactly right, dude. You know, you see it a lot of the time with women when we're talking about these victims, and you see it with men as well, but more so women. You know how much sexual assault alone there is in this country that goes unreported? I mean, we saw that with the Me Too movement. Like, you know, you have tons of friends in your friend group that have been essayed, okay? So when they read stuff like this specifically, I mean, it just boosts that empathy of just like, holy shit, I can't even imagine going through that. So believe that dumb bitch who vapes in a theater when she's walking down the steps. I mean, that's real shit, right?
Yes. No, it struck sincere. And, you know, these are one of these issues that is cutting across. And we need women like Boebert and MTG who are on that team to, get outraged. And point here from the peanut gallery. Hi, Steve. I assume you assume that America will have midterm elections. I have doubts. Heard about the SAFE Act. Trump doesn't want to give up power. Yeah, we've talked about this a lot. He is going to try to screw with, cancel, postpone, or whatever the midterms, which is why we keep talking about it. Because the more attention we put on this stuff, the harder it is for the sycophants around him to just roll over and go along with it. So, yeah, I'm worried about all of that stuff for sure, which is why we keep hammering on this. So,
No.
Stay alert.
yesterday, the 9th of February, Ghislaine Maxwell invoked her Fifth Amendment right during a virtual deposition before the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, refusing to answer all questions about Epstein's crimes, accomplices, or files. This is so crazy, dude, that we see her saying, oh, I love it if President Trump gave me clemency. Caroline Leavitt said it's not off the table. President Trump hasn't made a decision on this. It's not off the table. And you know, dude, for 100% fact that this is a quid pro quo, that if he does this, it's for a very specific reason.
Of course.
Will America freak out? Will the maggots freak out if he gives her clemency?
It's the only reason he hasn't done it already. I mean, the fact that they transferred her to this sweetheart prison was bad enough, and a bunch of people have freaked out about it. But to actually let her off the hook, I mean, if I told you, Nick, I can say wonderful things about you if you give me $1 million and then you pay me, like, of course I'm going to say wonderful things about you.
Yeah.
And I just said it out loud. Like she said, I can clear Donald Trump's name and Bill Clinton, as if anyone even cares anymore. Like, but I can clear Donald Trump's name if you grant me clemency and let me out of prison. Like, right. Who would believe a goddamn word she has to say at that point?
Yeah.
And I don't know if Trump is smart enough to see that, but the fact that he hasn't categorically said there is no way in hell I'm letting a convicted child sex trafficker out of prison scares me to the point that I think he may try to pull that crap, because his base for the most part will believe anything they're spoon fed.
Yeah.
But we just, as always, we need that fraction, that 10% of his base that I think will reject that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
To do that and to come to the light.
Yeah. Now, we'll see what happens, dude. But, I mean, yeah, you're right, dude. If he gives her clemency, I mean, if anyone out there that said, you know, if he's guilty, then that'd be my line in the sand. Like, I would back off and get off this freeway. You have to get off at that point, because you know the only reason he did it is because, well, he's in there. And she has some info on him that, you know, will sink him.
Of course. If Trump wants to clear his name, then release everything unredacted with any mention of you in it. But we know there are millions of more documents. We heard from one of the other electeds that saw the unredacted files that there's an email in there that blows Trump's story up about when he cut off ties with Epstein. And he said, like, why would you redact that sentence? I've seen it unredacted. It destroys Trump's lie. It's not about victims. It's not about somebody being falsely accused. It's about Trump's Department of Justice covering his ass.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, and no one's going to believe Maxwell if she gets let out of prison and says whatever. Like, why would you believe her?
Ron Cornett, what are the Clintons going to be saying? Well, that's a good question. I don't know. We'd like to hear it, because they want to come and talk, but they want to do it in public. So
yeah.
They're going to say some good shit, I'm sure.
And that whole thing, though, is another distraction, sideshow. Like, why are the Clintons the one that they want to hear from? They haven't called anybody in Mega World. They haven't even called Bill Gates. Like, they're just trying to make a sideshow out of it.
Yeah, it's retribution.
Yeah, and I don't blame the Clintons for, you know, tap dancing at first and saying they're not going to be part of the show. But, yeah, now they're saying, okay, let's do it publicly. I'll embarrass and eviscerate all of you. So,
yeah.
They're not who we really need to hear from, but sure, bring them out.
All kinds of shit is coming out in the Epstein files that, I don't know. I don't recommend reading these at night, because I've done that a few times and it makes it hard to go to sleep, you know?
Sure.
Do you know who
I'm reading to my kids at night?
Right. They're not bedtime stories. That's what I'm saying. Do you know who UCLA professor Mark Tramo is?
Tramo? No, I don't.
UCLA professor Mark Tramo faces intense backlash after newly released Jeffrey Epstein files revealed over 1,200 emails between them from 2010 to 2019. We know those are the bad years.
Yeah,
This is something else, dude. Okay, so I don't know how to take this. He's come out and said, like, that's not what we were talking about. But Tramo, a neurologist, focused on music and brain science. He emailed Epstein about research, including a 2017 note. This is what he said.
Okay.
newborns will suck on a pacifier more vigorously if it triggers playback of a recording of his or her mother's voice than another woman's voice. Framed as auditory stimulation for young kids. So basically telling Epstein, if you play recordings of their mother's voice, their brain will make them, you know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, I just got very uncomfortable.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy, right? Right. But people are asking, you got to step down, bro. UCLA, you cannot continue to employ this guy. Not only was there 1,200 emails between him and Epstein 2010 to 2019, but it was comments like that. I mean, that's crazy, bro.
It's crazy on every level, and I really feel nauseous all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Way to make the California college system look really bad.
I'm just saying, dude. Like, this is the kind of stuff that's coming out. Like, I know so many people are not reading these files on the older side.
I mean, millions of files.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. But at all, you know, so many people, I asked my brother, who's MAGA. We talked about this at length for the last year. Is he reading the files? Of course he's not, dude. He's just listening to what other people say, but he's not reading the files. He was outraged. Oh, release the files. Well, what do you want them released for? You're not going to look at them, bro?
Yeah. And on the only thing they're hearing in the Fox News bubble is any of these reports that were, you know, debunked, that were clearly there as a red herring to throw us all off. So they'll just bring up some report of, you know, well, somebody talked to Epstein, but it was a week after he died, or the letter they got mailed. Like, you know, they put that shit in there to try to discredit everything. So they could say, well, you know, the one story was false. Therefore, how do we know about anything? You know?
Yes, you're right. MAGA is famous for doing this stuff. I mean, we all remember the quid pro quo phone call. It was a perfect phone call. That transcript was released. We all read that, except anytime a MAGA was asked, have you read the phone call? Did you look at the phone call? No, but people are saying it's great. People are saying it was good. They never read the shit.
Yeah, no, for sure. Great point here from Mandy, or she leaves a manifesto just in case she ends up dead. Listen, if that woman does get released, she better move to Antarctica or something. I mean, first of all, she'll have no life. No one's going to want to hire her, associate with her, socialize with her, anything. But the odds of somebody doing something terrible to her, like, obviously.
I mean, I would want to stay in jail. I would, especially the puppy jail, dude. I would want to stay there. I'm more protected, so.
Yeah. So fun stuff. I don't know. Pedo protector confirmed.
Yeah.
Stay tuned for more.
Stay tuned for more. We keep digging into these files. Right. Lots
you
of
know, by the way, I've been calling him a pedo protector for months. No one's GoFunded me for 800 grand yet. Like the guy in Michigan that got 800 grand for telling him the same thing.
Yeah. Well, do you have a GoFundMe set up?
No, that's up to the public to do.
No, you got to set it up, dude. Come on.
Just wait for the podcast where the Secret Service starts knocking on the door over there. And then you, please help me.
Steve, there's a lot of things going on in the sports world right now. We could go to any direction. Should we go on a national or an international level? Where would you like to go?
Well, Super Bowl or Olympics. Listen, I've got comments about the Super Bowl, but that topic has been so thoroughly beaten into the ground the last 2 days.
Yeah.
I'm almost over it. So let's start with the Olympics.
Okay. Yeah, we can do that. Are you watching? That's my first question.
I am. I've spent several hours laying on the couch watching some Olympics, which is hard for me to do. I don't have a ton of free time, but I've had them on while I'm cooking or hanging around the house.
So, what are you watching, dude? What's your choice, your flavor?
Well, so far, I don't know if I have a favorite per se, at least not what's been on, but I was watching the ski jump, and a little curling was on last night.
Okay.
And, you know, I mean, Lindsey Vonn, I'm a fan. She's a smart, talented athlete. She's drop-dead gorgeous. And I was so excited that, I mean, she's 41, I think. And yeah. even after she blew out her ACL, was still going to go out there. And then she, I mean, broke her leg in two places. Like, oh, yeah, man.
She did go back out there, which is just crazy, dude. I mean, these are, you're watching two guys right now who have skied our whole lives. When you get to that age, dude, your body is different, you know? Like, I mean, I go home, my knees hurt, all that kind of shit. So, I mean, obviously she's in better shape than the fat guy. But to go out after tearing that and say, I'm still going to compete. Oh, so tragic, man. I felt so bad for her.
No, it's been good. But, it, you know, this is another one of these. Like, there's the sports side of the Olympics, and then there, it's like the Super Bowl. Like, there's the actual game, and then there's the whole political shenanigans going on in the Olympics. I mean, I've done two videos already for Really American covering the athletes, both American and abroad, that have been speaking out against Trump and ICE. And
yeah,
they are the epitome. They are emboldening everything you and I talk about on the show of getting vocal, especially if you have a platform. That's why we highlight so many rock stars and celebrities that speak out. But these are everyday Americans who once every 4 years get to be a celebrity for like 2 weeks, and then we all forget about them. But this is their time to shine, and some of them were just chomping at the bit to do it.
And let me tell you, dude, as you know, my wife, Rachel, she's addicted to the Olympics. I mean, it was a dream of hers to go to the Olympics. So
Summer Games, right?
Summer Games, yeah. But these kids or young adults have literally been dedicating their whole life to a sport and not like going and playing Sunday soccer. You know what I mean? So it is tough for these people to speak out when they're on a platform that's like, oh, I don't want to mess this up for myself. I've studied my whole life to get to this point. But it just shows you how important what they're saying is. We've got some video that I'll play of some of these athletes speaking out, which I think they're doing in a very respectful way.
Absolutely.
So yeah, let's start. We'll take a look at a couple of videos here.
Sure.
Some of the U.S. athletes competing in the Winter Olympics in Milan have acknowledged the complicated feelings they're navigating as they represent their country on the biggest stage in global sports.
It brings up mixed emotions to represent the U.S. right now, I think. It's a little hard. There's obviously a lot going on that I'm not the biggest fan of, and I think a lot of people aren't. Just because I'm wearing the flag doesn't mean I represent everything that's going on in the U.S.
I love the USA, and I think I would never want to represent a different country in the Olympics. With that being said, you know, a lot of times athletes are hesitant to talk about political views and how we feel about things. I feel heartbroken about what's happened in the United States. I think that as a country, we need to focus on respecting everybody's rights and making sure that we're treating our citizens as well as anybody with love and respect. And I hope that when people look at athletes compete in the Olympics, they realize that that's the America that we're trying to represent.
Those comments have drawn tough criticism from a number of Republicans, including President Trump himself.
Yeah. I've got more video to play, but the first gentleman you saw there, Hunter Hess.
The Hessinator.
Hessinator. Oh, wow. That's a inside joke here.
Really Kenny calls himself the Hessinator on Really American. Right. So he's I don't know if they're cousins or not, but yes.
Donald Trump made a Truth Social post. U.S. Olympic skier Hunter Hess, a real loser, says he doesn't represent his country in the current Winter Olympics. He didn't say that, by the way.
A real loser. Just that alone. A United States president calling a current U.S. Olympian a real loser.
Can you imagine, dude?
No, I can't. I can't.
Okay, so he doesn't represent his country in the current Winter Olympics. If that's the case, he shouldn't have tried out for the team. And it's too bad he's on it. Very hard to root for someone like this. Make America great again.
This just shows you how Trump feels that because he's president, that everything in America is him, represents him, speaks to him, is his to play with. Like, I mean, I know I'm preaching to the choir here, people, but you can be really American and not like your president or not agree with all the policies. And it is a long tradition of actors, musicians, and athletes speaking out when they have these opportunities. I would argue there's almost nothing more American than doing something like this.
Let me tell you how you can tell that these young adults that we just watched in that video are, well, they're not maggots, because they calmly and very precisely said, basically, I will translate, I love my country. I don't love everything that's going on in my country right now. Let me tell you that if you, anyone listening, love everything that's going on in a country, I mean, there's something wrong with you, dude. That's not possible.
It is impossible. And that's why I always point out that the right wing media, you can tell they're full of shit, because it doesn't matter what the topic is. They're always on that side, no matter what it is.
Yeah.
And that is just insincere. Nobody is like that.
No.
I'm a staunch liberal, but I'm okay with responsible gun owners. I'm a huge liberal, but I'm okay with the death penalty if it's been proven beyond a shadow of doubt. Like, my point is, you're not always on one side of the issues.
Really, truly, one of the most beautiful things about the United States of America is being able to speak out on that shit, you know? So they did it respectfully, and I don't think there's anything wrong with it, and I applaud it 100%.
Yeah. Got any more? Because there's been a bunch.
Yep. Let's go into our next video of another Olympia.
President Trump has called your teammate Hunter Hess a real loser. Would anybody like to address that or talk about how you feel representing Team USA right now?
Watch my this. Parents being immigrants, this one definitely hits pretty close to home. And I think in moments like these, it is really important for us to unite and kind of stand up for one another, for all that's going on. And I think that I'm really proud to represent the United States.
Sure.
It's the U.S. has given my family and I so much opportunity, but I also think that we are allowed to voice our opinions on what's going on, and I think that we need to lead with love and compassion, and I would love to see some more of that.
Another great thing said there, dude. Like, two things can be true at once. You can be happy to represent your country and not love everything that's happening in your country.
Of course. And how many people, from Dave Matthews to Bad Bunny to these Olympians, keep saying love, 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 love. Mm-hmm. Like, people are just feel compelled to point out that love, trumps hate. Like,
yeah.
Because there is so much hatred. It's a natural, visceral response to just say, like, we need more love. We need more acceptance and tolerance. Like, everything that America is supposed to be.
Yeah. The shitty part is the Beatles said it back in the 60s. They basically said, all you need is love. The point still hasn't gotten across to some. Okay?
Didn't Jesus say it back in the 00s? they crucified the man? I mean,
yes.
Man. Yeah. Man. Oh, yeah, yay. And you got any more? Because there's still way more.
There's so much, dude. I don't have. I've got another Olympic video, but it is not them speaking out.
The curler, the curling guy from Minnesota that I was watching last night, he spoke out today. He's in his 50s, like he's almost our age. We're almost in our 50s. And he's a lawyer from Minnesota. And curling is one of those few sports where you can be in your 50s and still be an Olympian.
Right.
And he just gave this impassioned speech about due process and the Constitution, the Fourth Amendment. And of course, I love my country. Of course, I'm proud. But things are not okay that are going on here. And Amber Glenn, who is Olympic gold medalist, ice skater, openly gay, very proud and outspoken about that.
Yep.
She quit social media this week because she was part of that first round of athletes to speak out again, respectfully, eloquently. And she got so much hate, vitriol, death threats. I hope you blow out your knee. Like, that never mind. I'm quitting. I got to get away from social media.
And I think part of that is because, she was representing the LGBTQ plus community,
of course.
Just people are so terrible, dude. And you know what? The Olympics are such a great example I mean, it's the kind of example that can bring you to tears when you see countries from around the world uniting in the love of sport and the love of country. You know, I was watching, we were watching ice skating yesterday. It was just so fantastic to see these kids competing. And when Japan lost, you know, they were obviously heartbroken, crying. I mean, again, all their life trying to get here, and they lost. To see the Americans go over and actually physically embrace them because they know what that must feel like, it's the spirit of the Olympics, dude. It's love, it's compassion, it's unity. Yeah. So
I feel bad for the Winter Olympics that the word ice has been co-opted. Because even you just said, I'm watching ice skating. Like, my brain just goes to the Gestapo police force. And
totally.
There was some meeting place over in the Olympic Village that was called the Ice House. And they had to change it to, like, the Winter House. Because it just has such a negative connotation. Obviously, it had nothing to do with ice, you know, in America. But
yeah.
Like, yeah, they have just tainted the hell out of it.
Well, there's been tons of protesting in Milan over ice being there and everything else. And, I mean, great protests, but do you see how they handle that shit, dude? There's been some violent stuff happening over there.
Right. I don't know that they have that fundamental right, but
yeah, that's right.
Speaking of Olympians and openly gay, guess Ken Worthy. You up on him?
No.
So he's the dude, skier, and he has dual citizenship. He was born in Great Britain, where his mom is from, and then grew up in America, lives here now, but he is competing for Great Britain in the Olympics.
Okay.
And he posted this picture that has gone viral of him, and I'll get into this in a moment, but of him peeing fuck ice into the snow. And the picture is between his two skis, and it just says fuck ice. And it's gone, you know, hugely viral. Everyone's having a good laugh at it.
Yeah.
He just posted, and it's on my Really American video that probably just went up recently here. He did an Instagram thing today, too, saying, like, geez, people, like, first of all, I am American and Great Britain. Like, I can represent both countries. I live in America. But he's getting death threats and hatred, and I hope you blow out your knee, and I hope you die, and just all of this vitriol. And you know, he ends his video just trying to remind everybody that we are a country of immigrants.
Yeah.
Like, what did you all forget about this? And unless you're a Native American, like, where the fuck do you think you came from?
Yeah. 100%, dude. It just doesn't make any logical sense.
No, not at all. And the picture, which I'll show you, and let me just, this is maybe a slight sidetrack. I find it funny, but I have done a forensic analysis of this picture.
Okay.
Here is my report for you, the audience, okay?
All right.
All right. I'm not trying to be a buzzkill, but there is no way this guy peed this into the snow.
Perfect.
First of all, these letters are perfectly formed. The only way a guy could pee words into the snow is in cursive. In other words, they would have to connect. You cannot pee, stop, pee, maybe. Stop, pee, stop. Like, it just doesn't work that way. And look at this letter I. Like, the perfect dot at the top, nothing in between, and then another perfectly formed letter. And then perhaps most importantly, there's no trickle down here. You would see little streaks going to each of these letters if you were starting and stopping. Not to mention, this is a lot of liquid to do two different words. I mean, this guy's bladder would have been ready to explode. So I love the sentiment. I stand behind it 100%, but there is no way that he peed that into the snow. Just saying.
I would tend to agree with you, dude, and it's because of the dot on the I. I mean, that is impossible.
Well, and the spacing on the letters is perfect. The thickness, like, come on. They had a stencil. They used probably Gatorade or something, but, like, it's hilarious. And I'm not trying to be a buzzkill, but you can't do that. You can't pee like that.
What if this guy was just a straight-out cocksman, dude? I mean, what if he just said that?
I mean, honestly, no. Could you imagine starting and stopping and having that just sniper aim, like, perfectly?
It's a UTI waiting to happen, dude.
Right? And think about how long that would take. One letter, two letter. Like, you're really having to pee, apparently. So,
yeah.
I love the dude. dude. I love what he's doing. I love that he's out and proud. I love that he's representing two countries, but yeah, he didn't see it. Okay.
I'm just saying. You got to ruin everything, Steve. Damn it. Let's get to a lighter side of the Olympics. Well, maybe it's lighter side for some. There was this dude that was interviewed. I think he's from Sweden too. He's a skier, and he made a huge admission. He was being interviewed live on TV as soon as he got done with his race, and I've never seen an interview quite like this. Now, he is speaking, I think he's from Sweden, so he's speaking Swedish, but listen, dude, there are subtitles, and I want you to read through them, okay? So pay very close attention, and here we go.
Og jeg vil takke alle som har hjulpet meg på veien. Smørerne får kjempegod ski I dag, og hele familien som har backa meg. Og så det en jeg ville dele det her med, som kanskje ikke ser på I dag. For et halvt år siden så møtte jeg mitt livs kjærlighet. Verdens vakreste, fineste person. Og for tre måneder siden så gjorde jeg min største tabbe og var utro mot henne. Og det fortalte jeg for en uke siden. Og det har vært den verste uken I mitt liv. Så jeg hadde gullmedalje I livet. Det var sikkert bare mange der nå som ser på meg med andre øyne. Men jeg kun øyne for henne. Jeg vet ikke hva jeg vil frem til å si det.
That is unbelievable.
Okay. The guy won the gold medal and admits to cheating on his girlfriend in front of a global audience.
For people who are just listening, okay, he skis for Norwegian. He's Norwegian, and he is just won the gold medal, and he makes a brief comment on great skiing for the day, and then talks about cheating on his girlfriend. I don't know if she was like. Yep, I'll forgive you if you admit it on the world stage. That's the only way I'm letting this go.
Wow. Well, first of all, I don't have any sympathy for cheaters. You're a cheater or you're not, okay? I have never cheated, never would. Like, you either do that or you don't. I don't buy into a moment of weakness. And didn't he say something like he cheated on her for a week? Like, that's not just some drunken little incident or something.
He's been thinking about it all week. Okay. Oh, yeah, see. Yeah. Okay. He's been thinking about it all week.
I'm going to win the gold so I could embarrass everybody.
Couple of points here, dude. First of all, sure. If he cheats on his girlfriend, does he cheat in sport?
Well, I don't know. Not necessarily. I mean, when I say a cheater's a cheater, I'm talking about relationships.
Okay.
I think you're, under speculation for everything sure. In the moral compass. Okay. Sure.
Right? Now, let's roll forward to the Olympic Village is well known for just being a hump fest, dude. All the athletes get together and they screw. So when he says, like, it's all I've been thinking about for the last week, is it because he can't do it now?
I don't know, but read the Global Room. Why do you think that was an appropriate platform for that? Right. And do you really think his girlfriend's going to be like, all right, I know you banged some other girl, but you won the gold.
Right.
Are you going to melt that ring, make it a ring for or something?
Yeah, like, gold is the highest price it's ever been, dude. Come on.
Listen, somebody needs to win the Pulitzer Surprise by following up now and figuring out if that woman took him back or not, because that might be the most inappropriate and lame apology I think I've ever heard. And how disrespectful to Norway and to the team and everyone else. Like, way to make a spectacle out of yourself.
Yeah. No, 100%. I saw that. I was just like, holy crap, dude. I've never seen anything quite like it.
I don't think I have either. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Do we expect Trump to ever get on a camera and cry for cheating on Melania?
No, dude. Can you imagine?
Trump's got a lot of gold. Maybe if we give him one more gold trophy, maybe then he'll go out there.
Maybe. Can you imagine those orange tears? I mean, that stuff has got to get into his bloodstream.
Yeah, really. That's toxic. Hey, funny, I guess. Good luck to you.
Yeah.
Cheater.
Good luck. Okay. Let's talk. Well, you want to talk about the Super Bowl, get it out of the way, or?
Yeah, sure. Okay. Listen, I'm going to connect a couple of dots here. First, I was really drunk during the Super Bowl, okay? So I don't remember everything that necessarily went on. But when that Ring camera commercial came on, I just immediately sat up in my drunken stupor and I was like, that is what we were talking about right there. Mm-hmm. You and I have discussed this, and I did a whole video on Really American about how ICE, how any government agency can spy on you through your Ring camera, and Ring is going to try to tell you that you have to opt into it.
Yeah.
Well, okay, I'll put a pin in that. First of all, what if your neighbor opts in and you don't? They can still spy on you because the neighbor's opting in. They can subpoena those records, and over half the time, Amazon gives it to them because Amazon owns Ring.
Yeah.
There's also an emergency exception where if the cops can make a case to Amazon that there's an emergency, they will give access to your camera.
Yeah.
But the main point that Amazon and Ring tried to make is you have to opt into this program that, yes, you're then part of the fog or whatever, flat cameras or whatever.
Flat camera, yeah.
Yeah. So you're then, yeah, you're part of a national database and they can access the recordings and all that kind of stuff, but you have to opt in.
Yeah.
So then they run this commercial during the Super Bowl. What if you lose your puppy? If you opt into our neighborwide surveillance network, you can find your puppy. And by the way, you're also opting into a national surveillance program that I can get access to.
Listen, like, dude, think about this. They gave a stat, and I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was like, you know, 2 in 10 dogs have been found using this technology. Like, yeah, that's outrageous. Right. Yes, that's crazy, dude. They have, I mean, it is brilliant. They have cameras everywhere now. They just have this network of cameras that can watch everything. I've got some funny shit on my Ring camera, dude.
Sure.
I pooped my pants on my Ring camera before, you know, like running in from the car. You know?
Ice is going after that now.
Right? Yeah, my pants. I've had my arms full and my pants fell down on my Ring camera. I've got some great Ring videos, so I don't know what else you're going to see.
Yeah. So anyways, watching the Super Bowl, saw that dystopian government 1984 little commercial. That was fun.
Yeah.
But besides that, I mean, my comments on the actual game were, I don't love defensive stalemates. Like, I'm glad the Seahawks won. Was not the most exciting game ever, but, you know, otherwise, I mean, the whole Bad Bunny thing. Like,
yeah.
What were your thoughts?
Well, let me tell you this. I watched it with my wife and my 79-year-old mother. We were watching, and my mom was like, oh, I wish I could understand it. And I was like, what do you mean? Because we were jamming. I mean, we were all just kind of moving our bodies, right? And she was like, oh, I just wanted some clarification on exactly what the story's about because it's so cool. That's 100% fine, dude.
It's and, fair. Yeah. But how many rock lyrics do you understand, too?
Yes. You know? I mean, I saw people saying, like, you don't know what a lot of rock lyrics are about, and you still jam and get down with it.
Yeah.
I thought it was great to be able to go check out people saying exactly what it was all about. So this is an evolving halftime show. Could be the most successful halftime show ever. Did you get down with it?
Yeah. Listen, I thought it was fun. I thought it was sexy. I was getting some sexy vibes going during that thing.
Yeah.
I thought it was very global and inclusive and a fun snapshot into something I would not normally watch.
Yeah.
I have not run out and bought a bunch of Bad Bunny albums. I'm not like a Johnny Come Lately. Like, the dude put on a highly entertaining, really cool show. By no means was I offended or, you know, anything else. And no, I did not understand every nuance that was going on during it. You could pick up on some of the visual cues, and at the end when he held the football up and started listing all of the Americas, South America, Central America, or, you know, I heard him list Canada in there, like, you know, yeah, I mean, it's cool, man. Like, I'm down.
Like, here's a short video of when Bad Bunny took the field, how it actually opened up. Here is a young woman sort of translating exactly what he says
to women all over the world that are dancing without fear. You're listening to music from Puerto Rico, from the farmhouses. Good evening, California. My name is Benito, and if I'm here today at Super Bowl 60th, it's because I never, never stop believing in myself. You should also believe in yourself. You're worth more than what you think, believe me. While one is alive, you should move as much as possible. Dance, dance, dance without fear. Love without fear. Enjoy this because it's only a brief moment. I always believed in you. We're still here.
I mean, could that be any better way to start things out of being inclusive?
Right. I was listening to Morning Joe this morning. It was kind of funny. They brought up a point I hadn't thought about, that on paper, the NFL made the safest choice they could have. They got the most popular artist on planet Earth to headline the halftime show. Like, that should be totally safe, non-controversial. Yeah. And I have yet to hear any rational explanation as to why this was such an atrocity other than just overt racism.
100%. I mean, I've got, you've seen a lot of them, I'm sure. I mean, from Megyn Kelly to other asshats, Jesse Waters going and just talking such racist propaganda that's just like, oh, you're butthurt. Jon Stewart said, when did Republicans become such pussy snowflakes?
Yes.
You know, like, they were so upset about this. I thought Megyn Kelly was going to pop, you know, talking about this, like, this is such a middle finger to America, blah, blah, blah.
Can you not zoom out at all and see how irrational, how immature, how just insane you sound that you're that upset about the halftime show?
Yeah.
Halftime show during a football game. Like, people, ground yourself. And Stewart is right. When did you all become such a bunch of triggered snowflake pussies?
Yes, dude. Somebody put together I don't know, 15 seconds of each Super Bowl halftime show, since they started, which wasn't that long ago. I think it was like in 89 or something like that.
I used to be marching bands forever.
Yes. And then when they decided to have it evolve, they had the Muppets out there, dude. I mean, Mickey Mouse out there. Like, I mean, that's crazy, dude, that you are so bent out of shape about all this stuff. Not only that you're just spewing hatred and racism, but that you were like, we were forced into putting together an alternative halftime show. No, you
weren't,
dude.
These mega idiots talking about investigations need to happen of the NFL over the gay pornography that Bad Bunny just
gave.
One of them said today, this is worse than the Janet Jackson nip slip. Like, this was gay pornography. I think he tried to flip to the web stream for Kid Rock and
it
went to one of his bookmark pages that perhaps did have gay pornography on it.
It's very possible, dude. Let's see just a very small portion of Kid Rock starting out with his fantastic song, dude, for the TPU.
There's a book that's sitting in your house somewhere that could use some dusting off. There's a man who died for all our sins, hanging from the cross. You can give your life to Jesus, and he'll give you a second chance till you can't.
Dude, what in the actual fuck are we watching right now? There was somebody showed that applause was all piped in because at one point they accidentally turned it off instead of fading it out. I mean,
the fact that the whole thing was pre-recorded and that his first song with the lyrics were off from his, I mean, how freaking cowardice and pathetic that you all felt the need to pre-record it. We just brought the point up. Kid Rock's talking about finding that book in your house, which I thought he was talking about maybe a encyclopedia or dictionary to educate themselves, but to bring up Jesus while you're hating on Latinos and in fear of what's happening, that you have to make your entire own show. Like, I don't think Jesus would be okay with that.
So funny, dude. Somebody said, oh, Bad Bunny, he's a brown guy wearing a dress. And the guy was like, oh, you sounds like you're talking about Jesus, dude. Like, that was, I mean, completely. What a hypocrite. Yeah, that's right, Catwoman. This is another artist that sang for the TPUSA alternate halftime show.
Well, Charlie, he gave people microphones so they could say what was on their mind. This is what's on mine.
You ever hear anybody get that? They call it the walking farts. You know, my grandma used to get that all the time. She had one of them weak bladders, you know. Every step she'd take, I'm going to get the mail. Grandma got the walking farch.
That's pretty much what the sounds, the song sounded like. Did.
Oh, thank God. When you first played that, I'm like, do I have to listen to this again?
God, I mean,
Nick sent me that the other day, the actual song. And I was just like, did Saturday Night Live write these lyrics? Like, I just want to mow my lawn and drink my beer and pet my dog.
Yeah, feed my dog, Steve. Do you remember that guy that we were talking about that said, oh, these are all the elements of a country song that you can make a gold record? Do you remember him?
No.
Oh, he was on, like, America's Got Talent. He was like, these are the elements. You need to talk about a truck. You need to talk about a bonfire. And he put together this song live, and it was exactly this, dude.
That's hilarious. I think that is why the country charts have had a number one song that was AI-generated.
Yes.
Because their entire genre is just so cliche that, yeah, a computer could spit that garbage out easily. Wow. And I really thought that guy was joking.
Yeah, me too, dude. It was comical. And I mean, the theme of the song was, it's hard to be country. Rachel looked at me and she was like, it is? Like, all mowing your grass and petting your dog? Like, all that shit seems real easy to me, dude.
To say the least. I'm so happy. That thing apparently got 5 million views, which there's a lot of people that are debating if those are all legit views or bots, but whatever. Oh, man, the Puppy Bowl got 19 million views and Bad Bunny got 130 something, so,
which is hysterical, dude, because they have taken a page out of Trump's book. And I mean, the numbers are still coming in. They say it's up to, you know, 28 million now. Like,
well,
it,
and they don't posted
even,
it,
yeah, we don't even have the final counts on it. Yeah, we know how all that works, dude.
And it was hilarious that we all immediately saw Trump's Super Bowl party at Mar-a-Lago. They were all watching Bad Bunny.
Oh, I said, yeah.
I said on the last show, no mega should be commenting online about Bad Bunny, because apparently they're all going to turn it off and go over to that bullshit.
But as soon as it starts, dude, they're going to tune out and tune in. But this was Mar-a-Lago. What's live at Mar-a-Lago, dude? They didn't turn off. And I mean, you saw Trump then commented on it and said, you know, oh, the worst thing ever, so un-American. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you, man?
No, they want to be outraged. They want to, you know, they're owning themselves, apparently. It's all faux outrage.
Yeah.
So they have to join in on it. Otherwise, how can they have any fun, you know?
Steve, because we didn't watch this show, I'll play one last thing for you that I didn't even think about. During this show, they had commercials, obviously. Watch this commercial. I don't know if I'll play the whole thing because you might get the gist, but take a peek.
Okay.
Hey folks, it's your friend John Rich. I co-founded Old Glory Bank because we heard too many stories about people getting canceled by their bank because they didn't agree with their politics. The government wanted to know where you shop. If you bought a Bible or you shopped at a sporting goods store, you're probably on a list. We created Old Glory Bank because America needed a bank that would protect their privacy and security. Exercising your constitutional rights is not a criminal activity, and neither is loving your country. At Old Glory Bank, we stand with you.
That's not Saturday Night Live either, dude. That was real.
The fuck was that?
He started a bank, dude, because banks are canceling people.
Is he talking about the security question? Like, what was your first dog's name or what street? Why are they asking me what my dog's name was or what street I lived on? God damn it.
Man.
I mean, listen, I know Trump got debanked for massive fraud.
Yeah.
Whatnot, but that's not happening to average Joe citizen.
Never.
I would not trust your money with big or rich, okay?
Yes. Yeah. Wow. Isn't that some nutty shit, man?
Wow, that is hilarious. I mean, listen, no, Mega, put all your money in there. You all deserve to be swindled, defrauded, yeah, embezzled, and everything else.
And that Trump cell phone is still coming. It just hasn't shipped yet.
Right. And Luna here brings up a good point. Nick Fuentes' take on all this is excellent. Like Boebert at MTG, I hate referencing Nick Fuentes because he's a little Nazi-loving piece of shit. But he has come out several times recently and said some honest things.
Yeah.
You know, someone called into his show and said that, what if we had a college, you know, requirement to vote? And he was like, we would never win an election again. Democrats are overwhelmingly more educated than us. But yeah, he came out and said that the mega halftime show was embarrassing. This is the best we could do, I think, is what he said.
So true, dude. Yeah. First of all, I didn't know who most of the people even were, but are we still talking about Kid Rock? Kid Rock sucked when he was young and came out. I mean, I've never enjoyed Kid Rock at all, but come on.
He's 20 years past his biggest hit. So
hey, dude, I'm going to show you this real quick because Benny had another comment on Kid Rock. We love it when Benny Johnson talks to Kid Rock in kitchens, don't we?
Kid Rock appreciation post here with the only guy not on the Epstein list. The only Hollywood celebrity not on the Epstein list.
Yeah, I'd like to take credit for that win.
Not on the Epstein list.
But wow. All of your mega buddies are, including the most famous celebrity that got elected to the White House. Like, that is not the burn that those two thought.
No. Jeez. And Bad Bunny's not on the Epstein list.
Right. Jeez. I've yet to see a transgender person on there. I mean, geez, yeah. It's the lack of self-awareness. That just articulates it perfectly. It's great.
Yeah. All right. Guys, gals, and our non-binary pals, thanks for listening to the podcast today and for chatting along.
Yeah, as always, many more things we wish we could talk about, but the clock keeps ticking forward. So you can go to thevocalminority.net if you want to message us directly. Otherwise, support everything you see here on Really American and follow us on all the platforms, YouTube, and everything else.
Indeed. We do this podcast Tuesdays and Fridays, so you know what that means. We'll see you on Friday, yo.
And that'll do it for another edition of The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Thanks for joining us on the Really American Media platform. Check out all our social media wherever good social media is found. Until next time, you tiny little bastards, good day.
Good day.
And we say bye-bye.